So, picking up where we left off last week here in the podcast, thank you for listening to my podcast. I am Todd Wright. This is the Todd Wright Toddcast. This is what we call it, approaching 400 lifetime episodes. Thank you for listening. Thank you for subscribing. Thank you for emailing me on occasion with random thoughts, either about something in the podcast or something you'd like for me to address in the podcast, or just some random thought, maybe something involving one of my sponsors, which are Brandon Legal Group, your full-service law firm servicing the greater Tampa Bay area. They hope you never have a need for legal assistance, but if you do, they encourage you to reach out to them for a free consultation at brandonlegalgroup.com, or if you prefer to call and talk to a human being, you may do so, 813-902-3576, Brandon Legal Group, your full service law firm. Heads and tails, as you start to think of holiday gifts for people you not only need to buy for, but are tough to buy for. I think Heads and Tails can help you if you are in the Tampa Bay area and you have people who you must buy gifts for who are fans of one of these six teams. It's the only things they stock: Bucks, Lightning, Rays, Gators, Noles, USF Bulls. That's it. That's the list. You're like, well, they do. No. Well, they might. No. Well, this team's popular. So no. Trust me. I know. None of those are my six teams. And I love these people. I love this store. You will too. They support my golf tournaments, and I'm trying to send them some podcast business. You can check them out online. Perhaps just searching. You can click Bucks and look at all of their licensed inventory. You can click Lightning, look at all of their licensed inventory. Same with Rays, Noles, Gators, USF Bulls. See what is in stock. It is all up to date. I know the people involved with this. They're very organized and detail-oriented. The store is very organized and detail-oriented. It never fails me when I go in to get things for a future golf tournament that are going to be prizes around our Christmas tree. As I walk out, I see something else and think, that's where I start the next time I'm here. You will get gift ideas or maybe an idea for yourself. Visit theheadsandtails.com, and then to see it in person, go in their store on West Kennedy Boulevard in Tampa. Again, my email is right.todd@yahoo.com. The previous podcast we did talked about four games in week 11, three in which the winner would get what I think was due attention for, and we still have a long way to go. There are still 7 weeks remaining in the regular season. There are still some buys out there. Some are coming up in week 14. I know that because there's always a late buy and you have to figure out what you're going to do fantasy league-wise, and we took care of that. But Rams-Seahawks, Rams win. Eagles-Lions, Eagles win. Broncos-Chiefs, Broncos win. It's not as simple as, well, the Super Bowl is going to be Denver against either Rams or Eagles. But it's right there. People can get hurt. Things can change. A team can get hot in the next 6 weeks or so. But one or both of your Super Bowl teams may be from that group of three. Denver in the AFC. Rams, Eagles in the NFC. And you know what? Shouldn't surprise you. Doesn't surprise me. If you go back to my season preview, I talked about those three teams in particular. And basically the Eagles-Rams divisional game last year in the snow in Philly was the de facto NFC title game. And Denver had a rookie quarterback, wasn't there yet, but made the playoffs, and this year has made additional strides. They look more and more like the Ravens or Bucks of the early 2000s, where the defense is so damn good, the offense doesn't need to do much. So if you are arguing that the Broncos don't have the offense to win, I get the argument. However, there are examples, even in the modern NFL, where offense wins and the Broncos still have the offensive head coach who has won it before. Granted, that was with Drew Brees at quarterback, but he obviously saw something he liked in Bo Nix or he wouldn't have drafted him, and this just in. It's also a reason why he has no backup quarterback of any real significance. He doesn't want chatter or Nix looking over his shoulder at who else could come in. Now, does that mean if Nix gets hurt or Nix just regresses late in the year, he has no other card to play? Then so be it. Then he'll address that next year or the year after that. Remember, a guy like Jordan Love sat for years. Mahomes even sat behind Alex Smith. Nix was more the modern first-round quarterback. Welcome to town. You're starting week one. They've been a playoff team despite slow starts in 2 years, and their only two losses this year are on walk-off field goals, and the Colts got two chances. I don't need to remind you how good the Rams and Eagles are. If you're a football fan the last 5+ years, you know. Not much has changed negatively. The Rams had a bit of a swoon there. McVay nearly walked away, and instead he stayed, and he's even more motivated to win the second one, which you hear from athletes and others. Once you win one, eventually it motivates you, especially if you don't win it immediately again the next year and repeat. You get even more motivated for the second one than you do for the first. I've heard that from athletes. I feel that may be the case for the Rams. I'm sure the motivation in Philly to repeat is pretty high, considering they stopped the Chiefs three-peat. And let's just bring up the Chiefs for a minute, because I said, well, I'll get to the loser of Bills Bucks getting more of the attention, which I was right. But in that preseason podcast where I said, I think for the first time in the Reed Mahomes era, the Chiefs aren't necessarily a given to win the AFC West. Last year, they won all those close games. I've always said the more close games you win, the more close games you're going to win. That was last year's Chiefs. I've also said in the same breath, the more close games you lose, the more close games you're going to lose. That's the Chiefs this year. That said, we'll get back to that. Bucks, Bills, Bucks are the loser. Despite a running back going off for 100 yards, despite the running game putting up over 150, they kept giving Josh Allen a short field. And to me, that was the reason they lost the game. They never got Buffalo in bad game script. You had more bad game management decisions from Todd Bowles. Some people around him change. I don't think he does. Which is why I think some Bucks fans are also coming around to the line of thinking, we're never going to win anything significant with this guy, and they don't throw boat parades for division titles. Which I'll bring up. I don't expect the Bucks to win at the Rams. They could. They need it. It would help. But I don't expect them to. If they don't, the season for the Bucks comes down to what are you going to do against Carolina head-to-head twice? That's what it comes down to. The number one and number two seeds are gone because you've lost to everyone of significance in tiebreakers anyway. You're not going to – you lose to the – you've already lost the Eagles. You've lost the Lions. You lose to the Rams. Your tiebreakers for the divisions are gone. Rams beat the Seahawks. That was a really good win for the Bucs. That was now a month and a half ago. Yeah. And Sam Darnold looked like the Sam Darnold that finished last year in Minnesota against that Chris Shula coordinated fast defense. So Bucs lost to the Rams. Better win both against Carolina, which for many looked like a given. Is it? Based on what you're seeing? Based on some of the weird things Carolina does to win games? And I even asked this of someone with a vested professional interest in the Bucs who agrees with me. And I still stand this way. They're not going to fire Bowles. I'm not saying they shouldn't. I'm not saying they shouldn't have before now. The theory being he has them in the mix every year. There's no trouble. It's a good culture, a good environment. It's kind of anti-Mike McDaniel. But do you want boat parades or do you want division titles? Do you just want home game revenue from one playoff game? Or do you want to go to another Super Bowl and win it? Ownership seems very content with the former rather than the latter. It was brought up to me in a television segment that I did recently about this, that the Glazers have some remorse from firing Dungy and hiring Gruden. Why? Because once they won the Super Bowl with Gruden, they were never the same. They fell off, and it took them a long time to get back. So they may be of the opinion it's better to just stay good and be in the mix rather than go for it. I don't agree. I mean, you can argue this. Which would say the Glazers aren't in the business of winning championships. They're just in the business of being in the mix. And then maybe, and if this, and if this, and if this, it's kind of the whole Kay Adams suddenly, leave Detroit alone. Those of you criticizing Dan Campbell for going 0-for-5 on fourth down, leave him alone. If he converts only one, he didn't. Deal in the fucking facts. How many games does Dan Campbell's decision-making need to lose for you of significance for someone to have the balls in the Lions organization to say to him, you're not doing that anymore. You're the reason we're losing. In a way, the Lions are the Bucs. And Bowles and Campbell can't be more different. But in this way, they're the same. They keep doing the same shit to prevent them from being championship material. Well, it's why we are who we are. Yeah, not a Super Bowl team. How's that strike you? Bucks lose that first one to Carolina. Suddenly, things don't look so good. Lose both, you'll lose the division. Circling back, even I think if the Bucs lose the division to Carolina, not Atlanta, we'll get to them. The Glazers might be like, this is going in the wrong direction. We didn't plan for this. Who knows? Maybe at that point, Bowles is like, you know what? I'm good. You want to let me go? I understand. Especially, you lose the division to Canales, who you had on staff. It probably won't make it even better if Liam Cohen sneaks into the 7 seed or 6 with those Jacksonville Jaguars. That won't look good either. All right, back to the Chiefs. They are 0-5 in one possession games. The more close games you lose, the more close games you're going to lose. I think Sunday at home is going to set up the Chiefs for the rest of the year. They do have 7 games left. The Colts have been very good all year. Are we really going to see changing of the guard? You can back this up against the Denver loss if you want and say, yeah, if the Chiefs lose back-to-back to Denver and Indy, then we are going to get something different this year in the AFC. Throw in your New England thing if you want. I still think they're one and out in the playoffs. I'll admit it if I'm wrong when it happens, but I still think they will lose their first playoff game. Unless it's to the Jaguars, or unless they beat the Bills twice in the regular season, then they're going to beat them a third time in that first playoff game. The percentages, you will start hearing the myth. Oh, it's tough to beat a team 3 times in the same season. It's based on fucking nothing. If you hear that from someone in a month and a half, you ask them, why's that? They've got nothing to add. It's a myth. If the Chiefs lose to the Colts on Sunday in a one possession game, yeah, it's bad. That's probably it. You're 5-6. You've lost a lot of your tiebreakers. Yeah, that's probably it. That said, I think the Chiefs could turn the whole season around Sunday. Not saying it's going to be easy. But we've seen Daniel Jones have some bad games this year. We know he's capable of it. Does Steve Spagnuolo come up with something to just prevent Jonathan Taylor from beating you? That's it. You know, Bill Parcells and Bill Belichick had a very famous game plan for Super Bowl 25. Don't let Jim Kelly beat us. It was even, we'll let Thurman Thomas run for 100 yards or more, and we'll win. It worked. I think Spagnuolo, with Andy's nod and smile, yeah, whatever we do, don't let Jonathan Taylor beat us. If they beat us another way, they're good. They're better than us. But I think the Chiefs can turn it around with a win against the Colts. If they limit Taylor enough, make Jones beat them. Make the Colts defense stop them. Don't lose the battle of special teams. This would be a bad game for Butker to miss. And he's had some bad games. If the Chiefs pull it off, here's the rest of their schedule. Just think about it from a, wow, the Chiefs just beat the Colts. They're not dead yet. Here's the rest of the Chiefs' schedule. Tell me what it sounds like. At Cowboys on Thanksgiving, host Texans, host Chargers, at Titans, host Broncos, at Raiders. You see where this is going? It is not unfathomable that the Chiefs could win out. But it could start. Could they win out even with a loss to the Colts? They could. But I'll make the case right now, with a win against the Colts, they could finish 12-5. Win out. Would that be enough to chase the Broncos down with one head-to-head win? Probably not. Broncos are probably going to get to at least 13 wins. Unless Knicks does go down, and then you have Jared Stidham. Unless in his hip pocket, Sean Payton can call someone retired. I'm not saying it's Breeze, but someone retired. Or would he really go with Jared Stidham? Trade deadline's gone, right? I don't know. What's the break glass in case of emergency quarterback for Denver in that scenario? That's another podcast. So I'm giving you a scenario where the Chiefs went out back to the NFC South. How does this look suddenly for Atlanta, which, if you haven't noticed, off the more close games you lose, the more close games you're going to lose. See what Raheem's Falcons have done the last 3 weeks. 1 point loss to the Patriots. Overtime loss to the Colts. Overtime loss to the Panthers. The more close games you lose, the more close games you're going to lose. Falcons are 3-7. 3-7. It's not just that they're looking up at the Panthers before they would look at the Bucs. You're 3-7. The rest of the slate for the Falcons at Saints. Again, invoking the Saints beat anyone this year, you can make a case that coach will be fired. Falcons then go to the Jets. So the next two for the Falcons. Dare we say, games you better win. Shitty opponents going nowhere. On backup quarterbacks. Yeah, you are two, but one you're paying $300 million to in full value. You lose one or both of those. Here's the rest of your schedule. You play Seahawks, probably lose. You're at the Bucs, you'll probably lose. You're at the Cardinals, you'll probably lose. You host the Rams, you'll probably lose. And then the Saints. And by then, the decision may have been made. Yeah, Raheem getting a second chance to be a head coach is not a good idea. And Arthur Blank makes changes. That's enough for me from today. Wright.Todd at yahoo.com, Wright.Todd at yahoo.com. The Todd Wright Toddcast is presented by theheadsandtails.com and BrandonLegalGroup.com. Thanks for listening.